This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah too.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program. This is a sunnah too. And inshallah, just as in the previous programs, we're going to mention a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which at times is not understood by the masses to be a sunnah. This is a sunnah too. This program has been brought to highlight and to remind that there are many sunnah that we have forgotten about, we have neglected, unfortunately. And this particular sunnah that I will talk about today, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it frequently, abundantly in his life. Now, before I mention what that sunnah is, in our life, when we want to attain success, we want to reach our goals, and they're not within our capacity, what does a believer do? He turns to Allah. He uses a special gift given to him by Allah, a tool that Allah has granted. And similarly, when we hit rock bottom, we fall into hardship, we're grief-stricken, we're worried, we're concerned, and again, we can't get out of that situation. What do? We turn to Allah. We use a special gift, a tool that Allah has granted us to alleviate that difficulty and to get out of that situation. What do we use? And what sunnah are we referring to? This is the beautiful sunnah of dua, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person supplicates, he reaches a maqam which he could not have done if he did not supplicate. When a person supplicates in the court of Allah, makes dua, he gain salvation from many calamities which otherwise he would have been stuck in. So inshallah, in this episode, we're going to mention the importance, the virtue of dua. As you know, first of all, we mention ayat from the noble Quran, followed by a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then some accounts, some hikayat from the seerah, from the life of our pious predecessors as well. First of all, in the noble Quran, in Para 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 186, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'ani. Translation, I accept the supplication of the one who supplicates when he supplicates to me. Subhanallah. This verse of the Quran, glad tidings have been given. Those who supplicate in the court of Allah, those who fulfill this sunnah, those who act upon this sunnah, those who make dua in the court of Allah, what is the bishara? What is the glad tiding? That Allah answers that call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that supplication that they make in His noble court. In another verse of the Quran, Para 24, Surah Mu'min, verse 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Subhanallah. The translation is, pray to me, I will accept your dua. So in these two verses, encouragement has been given. We should raise our hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should present our cases, our issues in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one verse of the Quran, those who turn away from making dua, those who do not supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah jalla wa ala has rebuked them because they're not fulfilling the role of an abd. An abd, the slave, he calls out to his master and they're not applying this, implementing this in their life. So in the same verse as the previous one, Surah Mu'min, verse 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدَخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Translation, indeed those who are arrogant from my worship, soon they will enter the fire in a state of disgrace, in a state of humiliation. Now in this verse of the Quran that I just recited, the word ibadati, ibadah, this refers to dua as explained by the knowledgeable scholars of Islam, the ulama, the mufassirun, the commentators of the Quran. So this is highlighting the importance of making dua and not depriving oneself. Because the one who does not make dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that person entering the fire of hell, in a state of humiliation. Why? Because he's arrogant. Why does he turn away from doing dua, he's arrogant. He thinks, everything I've achieved is because of myself. Everything I've attained in life, my own doing, my own hard work. Nobody helped me in this. He forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's arrogant. So this is why the punishment has been mentioned. Let us go to the ahadith collection now. And what does the hadith, what do the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salam state in this regard? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal states, Ana عند ظن عبدي بي, I will deal with a person according to how he thinks of me. Meaning the way he thinks regarding his creator Allah Azza wa Jal, that's how he will be dealt with. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي, and I am with him when he supplicates to me. The first bit shows us the importance of حُسْنُ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ, that if you have a good opinion regarding your creator, your thinking regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is positive, inshallah Allah will deal with you in this manner as well. And the second part of the hadith tells us about the proximity of Allah, how a believer gains proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he supplicates to Allah azza wa jalla. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي, Allah jalla wa ala says, and I am with him when he supplicates to me. You ask any believer, you want the proximity of Allah? Eyes closed, he will say, of course, is that even a question? I want the proximity of Allah. How to attain it? By doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing more eminent, there is nothing more honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. Now in this world, we have our own man-made criteria. We have our own priority list of things which are beloved or honorable to us. But here we are told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is nothing more honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua, making dua to Allah jalla wa ala. We should be in search of that honorable thing, which is the most honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith, and it's a hadith Qudsi like the previous one, where the Prophet alaihi wasallam is narrating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. O son of Adam, as long as you pray to me, as long as you continue to pray to me and have hope in my mercy, I will forgive your sins regardless how much they are. And I am not concerned in this matter. I am unconcerned. So subhanAllah, again, the benefits of dua. As long as you make dua and you're hopeful in the mercy of Allah, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? Allah jalla wa ala says, regardless of what sins you've done, Allah will forgive you, and He is unconcerned. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever calamity has descended already, or whatever will descend, dua provides benefit in both cases, whether the affliction, the calamity has already descended or is yet to descend. Dua will benefit you in both situations. So all slaves of Allah, adopt supplication, adopt making dua to Allah. And we're lazy in this regard. Here I would like to just mention that even when we perform salah, and we've been told by the ulama that one time of the acceptance of dua is straight after salah, when you performed your fard, for example. And what happens? We've given salam to our right, our left, we've concluded our salah. And many people, the first thing they do is they pull out their mobile phone, or they start looking around at other people. What you are supposed to do at the end of salah is to supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take advantage of that moment of acceptance. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, adopt supplication. O bondsmen of Allah, O slaves of Allah, it will benefit you in both cases, whether a calamity has descended or is yet to descend. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, calamity descends and then dua meets it. So calamity is descending, dua meets it. And both, they dispute with each other until the day of judgment. They are conflicting, they are disputing with each other until Qiyamah, the day of judgment. So how do you prevent afflictions? How do you prevent calamities? By making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you make dua, it does not allow that calamity to fully descend in your life, to descend upon you. It stops it in its tracks, as they say. Another hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and this is a famous hadith, many of you may have heard it, especially when dua is being discussed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, should I not inform you of that thing, which number one, will give you salvation from your enemies, and number two, it will expand and increase your sustenance. SubhanAllah, these are two things that we all want. We want to be saved from our enemies, and we want our sustenance to be expanded. The Prophet ﷺ said, pray to Allah day and night. Pray to Allah day and night. Why? الدُعَاءُ سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ Because dua is the weapon of a believer. This is his weapon. This is what he uses to ensure that calamities do not descend upon him. His enemies do not harm him. And his risk is expanded. SubhanAllah. This is what a believer should use. But the question again is, are we using this weapon? This dua, which is silahul mu'min, are we using it to our benefit and advantage? Or are we negligent in this regard? Are we heedless? When was the last time we made a sustained dua? For a sustained period of time, we cried in that dua. We forgot everything around us. We closed our eyes. We were present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When was the last time we did that? If it's been a long time, or if you can't remember at all, then that's a cause of concern. We should be worried, because why are we not doing dua? Is it because arrogance has crept into our hearts? Do we feel we are the ones to decide our destiny? Or anything that happens in our life? No. Ultimately, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides what good or bad reaches us. And we must make dua to him, inshallah. And the last hadith I mentioned before, going on to the seerah, the blessed seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one narration, Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dua benefits at a time when you've been afflicted already, when you've already been afflicted with something, and it also benefits against that calamity which hasn't descended yet, which hasn't entered your life yet. So, O people of Allah, O slaves of Allah, grasp onto dua, cling onto dua, hold firmly onto dua. Who is saying this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would make dua profusely in his lifetime. You only have to pick up a book on the du'as that are extracted and derived from the sunnah, books which are hundreds of pages in length, all covering the beautiful du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he alayhi salatu wasalam recited when he woke up, what he recited when he went to sleep, when he left his house, when he entered his house, when he went to a gathering, when he went to the marketplace, what du'as he made for others, what du'as he made after salah. All of these things are mentioned, but we need to study. We need to study, and that's how we will learn about those beautiful du'as. Let's listen to an account of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abu Amir Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala was made a governor, an officer of a small army by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sent towards a place called Awtas. There was a disbeliever who had an army consisting of thousands of soldiers. He came out with his army to confront this Sahabi, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the son of that disbeliever, he struck an arrow towards Sayyiduna Abu Amir Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, which struck his knee. And the companion of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, after being hurt in this manner, sat on the ground. Sayyiduna Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he came running when he saw this. And he said, "Oh uncle, tell me quickly, who hit you with an arrow? Who struck you with this arrow?" Sayyidina Abu Amir radiallahu anhu indicated that that person is the one who struck me. He is the one who attacked me. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he pounced on that person who attacked his uncle. That person began to run away. But Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu continued to keep up with him, until the extent that he neutralized him. He cleansed the earth of him. And then he returned to his uncle, Sayyiduna Abu Amir Ash'ari radiallahu anh told him of the good news, and he said, "O uncle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed the one who attempted to kill you at my hands. Allah has destroyed that person at my hands." And then Sayyidina Abu Musa radiallahu anh pulled that arrow that was lodged in his uncle's knee, and since it was covered in poison, it was dipped in poison, blood began to spurt out profusely in abundance. And obviously in a situation like this, you become somewhat despondent. So Sayyidina Abu Amir Ash'ari radiallahu anh, he instated his nephew, Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, as the governor, the officer of the army now. And he advised him, "When you go to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey my salam and ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for me, to supplicate for me." And after making this wasiyah, will to his nephew, he passed away from this world. He departed from this world. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anh states that when the battle had finished, had concluded, and he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, conveyed the salam of his deceased uncle, and mentioned the request of dua made by his uncle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu, and then he raised both his blessed hands. Allahu Akbar. How high did he raise it? The companion says, the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand so much that the whiteness of his blessed armpits was visible. And he ﷺ supplicated in the following manner: "O Allah Azza wa Jal, grant Abu Amir radiallahu anhu a higher status on the Day of Judgment than many other people. Make him loftier in rank on the Day of Judgment than many others." Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu states, "When I saw this generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also requested that the Prophet alayhi wa sallam make dua for me." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua that, "O Allah, forgive the sins of Abdullah bin Qais." This was the actual name of Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. "O Allah, forgive the sins of Abdullah bin Qais and admit him into the abode of honor on the Day of Judgment." Admit him into an abode of honor on the Day of Judgment. So subhanAllah, we hear from this account how much the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in valued dua. That the uncle is passing away, he's saying to the nephew, "Go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey my salam and ask him to make dua for me." And then when the Prophet alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, what did the nephew do? He thought to himself, "Why don't I take advantage of this generous ocean of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's overflowing? He's making dua for my uncle, I might as well request dua." When he requested dua, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam made dua for him too. And that dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes for an ummati, what can be said? What can be said of the value of the rank of that dua? We make dua all the time. Some will be accepted, some may not be accepted due to a wisdom. But then there are so many prerequisites of making dua. You should be pure, your income should be pure, ikhlas, sincerity is needed. But when the Prophet ﷺ makes dua for you, is there any doubt in the acceptance of that dua? Of course not. So the Sahaba were truly blessed. SubhanAllah, they would ask the Prophet ﷺ to make dua for them. So this was an account from the seerah. And to finish off, inshallah, an account from the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu took his blessed sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhuma, to Haram al-Kaaba. And there he heard somebody crying, supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he radiallahu anhu ordered that person be brought to him. That person was brought to him, but he was suffering from paralysis from one side of the body. And he came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, whilst dragging himself. Sayyidina Ali asked him, "What is the situation?" And he explained, he said that, "I was very disobedient to my father. My father would always tell me off. I disliked it. And one day when he told me off regarding something, I became so angry that I beat him up. My father became so angry and disheartened. He came before the Kaaba and he made dua that I suffer from this calamity. The supplication of my father hadn't even finished when I suffered from paralysis. And now I woke whilst dragging myself on the floor. And when this punishment afflicted me, I became very regretful, remorseful. Why did I do this? So I sought forgiveness from my father and asked him to forgive me. So my father said, I'll forgive you. I'll go back to the same place where I made dua against you, and I will make dua for you that you are cured. So on the way there, my father passed away. My father passed away, and now you see me here day and night. I'm asking for forgiveness so that my state is restored, same as before. This paralysis is removed from my life. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, are you telling the truth? He said, by Allah, my father was happy with me. Sayyidina Ali said, your father was happy with you? He said, by Allah, my father was happy with me. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu performed 2 rakat and then made dua for this individual. As soon as he made dua for him, he said to him, stand. And subhanAllah, by the power of Allah, that person stood and he was cured from his illness. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, if you had not taken an oath and told me that your father was happy with you before he departed, passed away from this world, I would never have made dua for you. So this is the power of dua. The views of Islam, this is the power of dua. We should make dua in times of ease, in times of difficulty. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that we've neglected today. Make dua day and night, inshallah. You will gain well-being in the dunya and in the akhirah as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
This is a sunnah to. This is a sunnah too. This is a sunnah.